Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. This is sort of a secondary disclaimer. Normally on this show, we talk about anime and manga with industry professionals and fans and listeners and all that kind of fun stuff. But this week, it's all about video games because, frankly, there's not that much anime news and everybody's talking about video games nonstop anyway because it's E3. So I'm having on Todd, who writes the X button on our site, and Dave from Fast Karate for the Gentleman to talk about nothing but video games. So if you don't care about video games, first of all, congratulations. I applaud you. Second of all, go ahead and skip on to next week's episode and forget this one. But if you do like games, listen on, and hopefully you will enjoy yourself. Okay, my guest this week, Todd Siolek, who's been on the show before. Y'all know him. He is the author of The X Button. Hey, Todd.
Hey.
And also joining us for this very special all-video games edition of AnCast is Dave Riley from the Fast Karate for the Gentleman podcast. Yeah, man, thanks for being on the show, man.
Hey, anytime.
So, no one's talking about Japanese cartoons right now because it's E3, and during the E3, nobody talks about anything but video games. So that's what we're doing this week. And I guess to start out, Todd, have you been playing anything lately? What's on your radar?
Well, I'm still playing Tactics Ogre for the PSP, and it's really an amazing game. There's tons you can do in it. I really thought I'd be able to knock it out in like 2 weeks, but it's been like months now. And, well, the demo for El Shaddai just dropped on Xbox and PS3, and that's a really, at least visually, interesting game. That's the really trippy-looking game based on the Book of Enoch. It plays a bit like Devil May Cry or God of War, but you have this really interesting visual quality. It's like the sort of thing you'd see in an Alejandro Jodorowsky film.
The Holy
Mountain. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, wow.
See.
Is there any appreciable difference between the American demo and the Japanese one?
That I don't know yet. I'm just
wondering if it's worth my effort to bring it down again, because the Japanese one was already in English, and I already had to make some absurd auto-assigned Japanese PSN or Xbox Live.
Yeah. Where did the Japanese one
end? Honestly, I don't even remember.
Because the American one ends with you fighting this, right before you fight, this gigantic thing that looks like a mole crossed with the Incredible Hulk, but...
I don't think I got that far.
Yeah, I don't know if it's any different either.
So is this is like a sort of a weird experimental type of thing, right? Like, I know you previewed it a couple of times in the column, and I was fairly interested in it, but is it one of these, like, you know, they're going to, you know, do a print run of 2,000 copies and it'll be forgotten by time or something? I mean...
Well, it's by Ignition, and Ignition is really still trying to get up there as far as publishing Japanese games and other games go. They're trying to get into the Atlas thing. And they got to a really rough start because they did horrible translations of some of their early releases, like that Les Payne game that you're talking about. And then they did what was called Muramasa for the Wii. Mm. That looks like the one that had the really amazing graphics, looked like Odin Sphere.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it might actually get advertised and printed up in good quantities.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, their releases tend to stick around. You can still find Deadly Premonition, and maybe that's their flagship game.
Yeah.
So that might not hold true across all their titles, but...
The happy accident of Deadly Premonition, yeah.
Right, the accidental success, yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, what's on your radar?
I don't know. I've sunk far too much time into Terraria. Which is like this tiny Steam game that costs $10, and it's Minecraft but 2D that you can play with four friends, and it ends up being half Minecraft, half Metroidvania. So while you're digging through dirt and finding gold ore, you can pick up a hookshot or a boomerang. I don't know if it has any real value as a Metroidvania because of just the sheer amount of time you have to sink into digging before you get to the dungeon exploring part. But there is something really satisfying about building an unholy altar to summon a giant god with items you harvested from small floating eyeballs.
That sounds kind of weird.
I don't know. Other than that, it's been slow going these past couple weeks. I blew through L.A. Noir. I've been playing old stuff like Rainbow City Vegas, trying to get my co-op fix wherever I can.
Yeah, actually, let's talk a little bit about L.A. Noir, because I'm at the arson cases, and I have officially lost interest in the
game. Yeah. Are you, like, halfway through the arson cases?
No, I'm, like, I think I'm, like, half... It's weird, because I suddenly became so uninterested in the game that I didn't go all the way through, I think, the first case. Like, I put it down and then haven't gotten back to it yet. But maybe, I don't know if you, obviously you finished the game. So I guess my question is it worth finishing? Because
probably not. I don't know, I've been trying to really like categorize my thoughts about L.A. Noir. And I think the biggest problem I have is that it's like another one of these Rockstar games that's really, even though it may or may not be technically a Rockstar game, it certainly has those trappings.
Right.
It really appreciates X genre and kind of doesn't exactly get the entirety of it. So they spend the whole game talking about how corrupt the police force is, and then there's like barely ever a corrupt action evidenced on screen. And that's sort of par for the writing. Like the guy that they hold up as the most corrupt guy, which is your partner in Vice, when he turns you in and they kind of treat that as a corrupt thing, he was just like, it's not like he enticed you to your character to sleep with the lounge singer and break his holy vows of matrimony. He just happened to be following you when you did.
So some it's like spoilers in here, yeah.
for them to say like, oh, you know, L.A. is the police department is just this bed of iniquity. And there's no room for one good cop, when in reality it's like, yeah, you know, they don't seem that bad. Well, they're lazy. There's a lot of laziness going on the force, but outright corruption, I don't know.
Yeah, and a lot of stereotypical hard drinking, you know, woman hating goons, and that's kind of it. But the thing that really just started getting to me was near the end of Homicide. I started saying, like, is this it? Am I just going to do the same four fucking things over and over and over in every case? And you investigate, and then there's maybe a car chase, and then there's some cover-based shooting, and then you do the interrogation parts, and then that's every single case, and oh, yes, it is. Because once I got to the end of Vice, I'm like, okay, fuck this. I'm tired of this. You know, it was neat. If it had ended at the end of Vice, maybe I would have been happier with it. But
I don't know. I would have bought into... I'm down with the interrogation. I'm not so much down with the every other suspect runs away and then you got to chase him.
Yeah.
But just a lot of the stuff where they make you go through the motions, especially in Homicide, of like, well, probably none of these suspects did it. I kind of know that going in, but it's going to make me play this out as if it were a movie and the characters were not as wise as I am.
Right.
And so you're reaching this conclusion that if not could be avoided. Like, why are you're throwing all these guys in jail that obviously didn't do anything. Like, all right, maybe one guy left a bloody shirt and murder weapon in his apartment, but four in a row?
No shit. Yeah, and by the end of that, you know, I thought it suddenly, because up until that point, I was like, hey, this is a pretty good sort of riff on LA Confidential. You know, this is pretty neat. And then at the end of Homicide, you're literally climbing around famous Los Angeles landmarks. It's like the most hacky possible way they could have gone with it, where you're chasing the Black Dahlia killer and you have to climb up the LA Library and go to the Hall of Records. And, oh, now let's go to the maze at the art museum. It's like, really? Like, surprised you didn't have to scale the RKO Theater Tower, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty silly. But I mean, initially I was super impressed with that game and really, really happy with it. And my opinion of it just slowly went down to...
Yeah, I feel like that's sort of the same trajectory I hit upon, where I played it with my girlfriend the whole way through, just sort of trading off the controller. And maybe that's how we managed to get through it at all, because we had twice the manpower behind it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I mean, it got to the very end of Homicide was where the cracks in the facade started to show. And it just comes to really this total anti-climax. And then they drop you into Vice where we're sitting there. I mean, we're looking at the instruction manual and the trajectory is traffic, homicide, vice, and arson. And we're trying to figure out how each of those entails a promotion.
Right. And then it turns out a totally tacked on third act plot twist that comes out of fucking nowhere. And that was so frustrating. That's another thing that was like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, the whole time he's held up as a straight shooting guy who's never had a corrupt thought in his head, and then boom, here we go, character flaw.
That's the thing. It's like, oh, you cheated on your wife? I didn't even know he had a wife. Like, he never mentioned his kids.
Yeah, right, exactly. When did he have a family? We're never introduced to any of that. But I gotta ask though, without totally spoiling the end, does any of that, the flashback stuff, go anywhere?
I mean, that becomes the central plot of the very end of the story, which is, it's all like super convenient that everyone who was involved in all those flashback things ends up in L.A., basically. But I don't know. I buy into some of what they're going for there, and I thought they start having this plot in Vice that persists through arson. And I like the idea that you get busted down to the arson desk, but it doesn't really go anywhere, and it's just so long. Like, yeah, that's a 2-hour movie. It's not a 20-hour video game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. All I know is it still trades. You can still get $30 for it back at GameStop. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I hear that. I sold it right back on Amazon. Ended up paying $20 for it, and I'll deal with that. That was all right.
Well, it'll shave $30 off Child of Eden next week, so I'm happy about that, which I'm very excited for. Very excited for Child of Eden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that as well. That has really just snuck up on me. I forget that comes out seemingly every other week, and then it's something new to get excited about when I realize it's coming out on the 13th.
So are either one of you going to be playing it with the Kinect?
Yeah, I will. No. I bought a Kinect for it, actually.
Oh, lucky you. I guess that remains to be seen.
Well, you know, that and Disneyland.
Of course.
Sesame Street.
Sesame Street, yeah.
No, but I live in a tiny New York apartment, so in order to get a Kinect, I would probably have to remove my bed. I live in about a 400-square-foot studio, so
right, yeah,
there isn't much room for any of that.
Well, did you see they've apparently Nyko is putting out a little accessory?
Oh yeah, that peripheral, the Kinect Zoom.
Yeah, which means people can actually use it in their apartments now, which is nice.
And maybe this will be the Nyko peripheral that doesn't light your console on fire.
Yeah, right, exactly. But that's kind of, I mean, it's the dry season anyway. You get like 2 AAA titles in the first 9 months of the year, and then everything comes out in November. So it's going to be a dry summer, unless you're really looking forward to Duke Nukem Forever, which I assume you both are.
No. I think I was happier when it wasn't coming out.
Yeah.
I don't get these guys who just, like, treat it as if it's this legacy. Understandably, I'm going to guess maybe, like, 14, 15 when that game came out.
Yeah.
And it seemed like a pretty big deal at the time. But I feel like there's just no... there's no satire in Duke Nukem. It's all played just entirely straight. Or maybe if there was satire in Duke Nukem 3D, it does not exist in Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah.
And
I think there
is
satire. It's just like almost Family Guy level satire where, you know, it's as lazy as possible. Like in the demo where they've got him playing his own game at the end. And yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Well, I mean, it's not even so much the playing his own game. It's like playing his own game while the 2 cheerleaders are on their knees in front of him.
It's really like this is seriously man children time.
And I mean, the craziest thing is he's plying his trade on movies that no 15-year-old has seen.
Yeah.
Like, none of them saw They Live.
Yeah.
We came out 30 years ago.
Well, that's why all the catchphrases seem new and funny to them, because they never saw
it. Yeah, I guess. They just buy right into it.
Yeah. Well, at least it'll come out, and then we hopefully never have to hear about Duke Nukem ever again.
Once it comes out the 14th, and then the 15th, it'll just all be over.
Yeah.
And so Duke Nukem Forever 2 is next year.
God.
Every day I'm walking to work, and I walk right across a big bus street, and I see one of those Duke Nukem ads on the bus. It's just like it's just thrown right in my face.
You can't get away with it. And the cult is really sad, too. Like, I know on a certain video game board, they literally started banning people for saying they didn't like the demo.
Wow.
Which is just silly. Okay, so let's talk about E3, because that's this week, and a whole bunch of stuff happened, and I sort of want to get your guys' take on this stuff. So let's start with Sony. What do you guys think?
Vita?
What do you think of the Vita? I guess time. Take it from time.
I mean, if I can jump in.
Sure, go ahead.
I am just as down with it as I am the PlayStation Portal, which is like, I will probably buy one. Eventually, there will be good games for it. If I could really get my ardor up about anything, I might go out of my way to defend it, but I just don't care that much.
Right.
But like, it's probably going to be the same as the PSP. It's going to be kind of okay. It's going to be a pretty good success, but the 3DS is going to do better, so everyone's going to think it's a failure. And everybody likes iPhone games anyway, so
right.
Who's going to notice?
Todd?
Well, there are two things I like about the PS, the PlayStation Vita, actually. It has two analog sticks, and it doesn't use UMD games anymore, which is just amazingly inconvenient for the PSP.
But it still uses, there's some proprietary memory stick type thing, right? It's not solely download or just SD card.
Yes. Cartridge or something like that. And so far, though, the only game that's really turned my head is that Dragon's Crown thing. That's like a brawler. And it's basically sort of a spiritual sequel to Capcom's Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, really? Okay. I don't think I saw
well,
that.
The guy who
worked on it, yeah.
Yeah, he did Tower of Doom as well, which Tower of Doom and the follow-up Shadows Over the Star are like pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't bring myself to trust VanillaWare, man. After Odin Sphere, and then after Muramasa, which Muramasa was okay.
Muramasa was better. Muramasa wasn't a little better.
Yeah, Muramasa was closer to a real game, but Odin Sphere, man, that game was bad. And I feel like they just fleeced everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I do appreciate, man, I feel like Twitter's been blowing up today about that game and about the fact that there's some breasts in it and some butts.
Yeah. It's like ridiculous even by video game standards, I think.
Yeah, which is like whatevs. I at least appreciate that they've got that Amazon girl. And if they're going to have girls in all various states of undress, at least they're skewing to some demographics that are less represented, because she is built.
And she actually looked like she could swing a giant axe, yeah.
Yeah, well, I just if you compare it to your Queen's Blade characters, for example... That are just sort of all pillowy and weird. We don't have to get into that. at least they're doing something. I mean, I don't necessarily approve of it either way. Especially since, like, where's the comparison for the guys? I feel like if you want to draw girls that way, you got to draw guys that way, too.
You got to have a guy running around in a Speedo.
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise, it's not fair.
Well, you know, in the original Golden Axe, it was pretty equal. You had the girl was like basically Red Sonja, and the guy was Conan running around his loincloth. So
yeah, you had Axe Battler, and then you had Dwarf. He just watches.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, like the Vita, the minute they started showing that Uncharted demo on it, like during their press conference, my confidence immediately went down because what I saw was pretty much everything that's been popular in any kind of handheld just thrown into one machine. And so now you have to do a bunch of dumb shit in order to play Uncharted. And so you've got the guy holding the controller weird and touching the screen to get it to move and then also touching the back of the screen. It's like, you just fucking play Tomb Raider? Like, this is ridiculous. You don't need six buttons, two sticks, front and back touch screens, and six axis control to play Uncharted. Why would you ever want that?
Yeah, that's true. It does smack of them trying a little too hard. But I tell you, if they can figure out a way to sell me the same game on that and the PS3 for one price that I can move between the two of them, then they have me at that.
Yeah, that's true.
The transferring thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm totally into transferring.
Right.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, transferring. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of riding the bandwagon where this is might be the last generation for independent Nintendo handheld and independent Sony handheld, because really everybody's kind of moved on to phones at this point. I mean, mm-hmm. I didn't even think about buying a 3DS. I have an iPod that plays, you know, I can get to the App Store and get whatever I want there. And that's totally replaced having a dedicated gaming console or gaming handheld for me. And I know a lot of people, well, that's the same way. They're like, oh, there's a new DS. Who cares? You know, I'm just going to play Angry Birds or whatever. Do you think that's the way things are going?
You can get whatever you want for a dollar.
Right, yeah. Everything's
where, compared to 40 or 35, like whatever yeah. Square Enix is charging now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of Square Enix games are ending up on the iPad and iPhone anyway. I think they've released Final Fantasy Tactics on there not too long ago, so there you go.
Yeah, and Square is the one that's experimenting. They want $16 for Final Fantasy III, which, to my knowledge, is a full-length DS-style game.
Yeah.
But everyone balked at the price, because why isn't it $3?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is silly. Games are worth more. But I guess now this is how games finally become worthless in the eyes of people. Is due to the iPhone and everything being a dollar.
Yeah, if you can get a fart simulator for free, no amount of money's worth it for Final Fantasy III.
Yeah. Did Sony show any games that either of you thought were particularly, you know, exciting?
Just Dragon's Crown, really, and that's mostly because of the visual style and because I really like the Dungeons & Dragons arcade brawlers. I don't think we're going to see any of those on live or anything like that now because they lost the license, so hey. Dragon's Crown is the closest we'll come. Aside from that, though, there really wasn't too much. I think there's a ninja game that on the Vita. Forget the name, like Shinobido or something. It's by the people who made Tenchu. So that was at least something I hadn't heard of before. So, aside
which
from that, though,
Tenchu.
I don't know. Acquire. That's the company.
Was that they were the guys that did the original ones, right?
Yeah,
so I mean, that's. That's not totally without hope. Like, that series didn't get bad immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You can expect a super high-quality dub, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. God, well, that's what I mean, but that's everybody's favorite part about Tenchu.
Yeah.
So if they're bringing that to the table, then all right. Which is what really worried me. I saw on Konami's thing that they're redubbing Silent Hill for this re-release they're doing.
Oh, really?
That is unacceptable.
Yeah, no way.
Collections?
Yeah, it's like, so there's not going to be any more, like, radio. What's going on with that radio?
Well, no, isn't it just the second and third games that are on the HD collection?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's not the first one. That makes sense. But I kind of appreciate those dubs. I will make no bones about them being not maybe the best dubs, but they've just wormed their way into my mind in such a way that I kind of think Silent Hill 2's dub is good.
You know, I bought the Castlevania collection for the PSP, and when I discovered that they had redubbed Symphony of the Night, it felt sacrilegious to me.
Oh,
it's like, what? No, that was a beautiful thing of terrible beauty. How could you possibly change it?
And they put it into, like, real live English.
Yeah. They retranslated it, too.
Yeah. Thank God for the Xbox port.
All right. If they do that to Zone of the Enders too, I'm just out of video games for good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been probably 2 years since I played that game, and I was just playing it the other day, and that is barely English. Like, I think it had to be a Japanese dude who spoke English wrote the script, and it was a bunch of Japanese people who spoke English that read it. Because it's just like the syntax is the worst I've ever seen in a video game.
And it's always amazing because Metal Gear was coming out at the same time, right? You had Metal Gear 2 with all these recognizable voice actors from Tins, and then they had Zone of the Enders by who was even in that?
I don't know. Is there names for any of them?
No cast list. Yeah,
I mean, it's like Resident Evil 1, where it's like everybody has a first name and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Jill, voiced by Inez.
Right. Yeah, they did it in some garbage can in Westwood. Those HD collections, I was trying to find a little bit more information on the Metal Gear Solid one. Does that have the first three, or is it just 2 and 3?
It's just 2 and 3.
What is that? Why doesn't it have...
Even the subsistence version of 3, is it? Just the Snake Eater one, right?
Oh, no, I think it is. I think it's Substance for 2 and Subsistence for 3.
Oh,
which sort of marks the first time that Substance will actually be playable. I mean, I got that on my Xbox, and that was like the worst frame rate I've ever seen. But But I assume the issue with the original PlayStation games is that the assets just don't exist to up-res them to the quality they want.
Couldn't they take the Two Snakes or Twin Snakes version?
Oh, Twin Snake. Yeah, but I think that's kind of been disavowed.
Was there something wrong with it? I played through it. I remember enjoying it.
I mean, it depends on who you ask.
Okay,
but
so super
I think people don't really appreciate Ryuhei Kitamura's flair of, like, jumping off missiles and kicking them back at people. Even though that's totally Metal Gear. Like, yeah. It could not be more Metal Gear than if Kojima wrote it himself.
I don't know. I hope they make it available, because I would love to have all of those on one disc and not have to and just have that and not have to worry about buying it again on PSN later or whatever. I don't know. I'm excited about the Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, though. I don't have either of those. I've been wanting to play through them.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that, especially since it fixes Shadow of the Colossus frame rate, which was the smoothest thing.
That's what I'm most excited about. I'm told just from what I read on the internet that the graphics on Shadow of the Colossus and Ico are kind of only just smooth. They're not really too up-resed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what can you do?
But, yeah, just to fix the slowdown on Shadow of the Colossus alone would be pretty amazing. But that being said, they better leave the slowdown in Zone of the Enders in, because that is just – that is of the, like, shoot 50 million lasers at the same time.
Right. Now, for Shadow of the Colossus, they're not really adding anything new, like new bosses or something or anything like that, because they actually cut, like, I think at least a half dozen of the ideas they had for bosses got cut from the game. There's even areas that you can go to. If you use a Game Shark, and where they were supposed to put different colossi.
The Game Shark. I remember those days.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so neither of you are super excited for Resistance 3, then.
Fall of Man.
Did they say anything about there being... are they continuing that co-op mode in it?
I don't know.
Because 2 had that kind of neat... What was it? 4 players or 3 players? It was a class-based co-op system where people were healers and tanks and damage dealers. So it was sort of MMO in a sense, but it was a first-person shooter. And that was what excited me most about Resistance 2. I never actually played the grown-up game, so the single player never appealed to me.
The most remarkable thing about Resistance 2 was I think that was the fastest I'd ever seen a limited edition wind up in a bargain bin. It was like 2 months later. That shit was in the bargain bin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I picked up our copies, they were like $17.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I guess it makes money for them, but I don't know anyone who's like an actual fan of that series and, you know, religiously buys them.
I know people who got the PlayStation first thing, and that was the only launch game that was worth looking at.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
But beyond that, no.
And I guess they keep it going because, I mean, if Microsoft has Halo and Gears of War, then Sony's got to have Killzone and Resistance.
Right, which are virtually interchangeable, I think. Mm-hmm. Although I think more people appreciate Killzone. I don't know. Okay, so Microsoft did not really show that much besides a bunch of Kinect games and Halo. And that was kind of it. Although I don't know that anyone was really expecting anything more than that.
Well, they showed Ice-T, and I appreciate that.
There you go, right? Anytime
they can get Ice-T on stage, I'm
silver
okay
lining,
with.
Yeah. did any of that Kinect stuff turn anyone on? Was that any?
The stuff they did with Mass Effect, I am willing to buy into if I happen to have a Kinect at the time Mass Effect 3 comes out.
Right.
Like, I thought it might be kind of neat to say, hey, Garrus, concussive shot over there.
Yeah.
But I don't really foresee myself like speaking every line of dialogue when I can just push down an A to do the same task.
Maybe they'll make you actually recite the intensely awkward come-ons yourself.
So it'll make you act out a sex scene in Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going after Garrus, then he does all the work for you.
Right.
All the awkward come-ons are his.
Right, yeah. Man, Jesus Christ. Well, we'll talk about Mass Effect in a little bit, but anyone excited for Halo?
I like Halo games. I don't apologize for it. Both me and my girlfriend really like playing co-op games, and those are sort of the de facto co-op games on consoles. So whenever a new one comes out, we devour it, even though the last one was kind of junky. And I'm sure, like, we don't really need to play a remake of the first one. We played it, like, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But all the same, like, they'll have my money in one way or another. They'll get me.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same for me. Whenever a new Halo game comes out, it's like 2 months of the world's most awesome and fun multiplayer, and then it back to the shelf it goes, and I don't touch it ever again. But Todd, you were going
to... As far as Microsoft goes, I did kind of like the look of that game Rise, I think, for the Kinect. It's the one that started off with a trailer during the Roman Empire, tries to set itself like an HBO series, but then it kind of just shows you fighting like every other Kinect fighting thing, so I don't know where that's going to go.
Yeah. You know, the motion control stuff, I mean, I couldn't, like, during, like, at least a half an hour of Sony's presentation was PS Move. Which, does anyone care about PlayStation Move? I mean, at all. And he was showing this, like, really lame wizard kind of a fantasy thing. And at one point, unironically, the guy with the Move controller showing you this boring-ass looking game goes, well, there's a lot of player choice in this game. As you can see, I've just revealed a secret passage by exploding those barrels. You just said that out loud. Ridiculous. So that's none of the Kinect stuff really got you, Todd?
I can't. Not really. Although that Rise game was probably the only, I think, original like IP during the Microsoft presentation. So
yeah, that's cool.
That was something. I was kind of hoping that they would show the Project Draco thing, which is like this Kinect game by the guy who did Panzer Dragoon, but nah, didn't show up.
Yeah. Panzer Dragoon. So before we get to Nintendo, I do want to talk about Mass Effect. I assume you're both fans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest.
Todd, not so much?
Yeah, a little bit. I haven't really actually finished either one of the games, so I can't say. But they're good. I like them.
Okay. Well, I stand by my opinion that I think Mass Effect 2 is probably the best game I've played in the last, like, 5 years. Like, I loved it to death. Now I can't wait for the third one. And what they showed of the third one is, it's like I don't really want to see any footage. It's like, yeah, whatever, just put it out. Just take my money, please, and give it to me. I don't care. I'm also kind of... bummed that it's like a year away.
Yeah, it still feels so far because they were tempting us with that holiday 2011, and then they just shot it back 4 months.
Yeah, which is it just kind of sucks. But I'm hoping some of the team members from the second one show up, and it's not a total reboot of the cast. But we will see. But that's sort of the one thing I'm super looking forward to, but really don't want any more information on. It's kind of a...
Yeah, I feel I was... That's one of the few conferences I actually watched long form. There was some video of them showing off Mass Effect, and I kept wanting to watch it, but they kept showing environs that I was like, well, I know that's in the game now. Yeah. But I am kind of excited that they seem to be making baby steps towards the RPG roots of the series without going sort of whole hog into it. Because I feel like what they did with Mass Effect 2 and scaling it back was correct.
Yeah.
But it's not unfair to say that they scaled it back maybe a little too much. So they were just showing a lot of customizability to your attributes and whatnot. So the skill trees and inventory menus look like Mass Effect 2 with just sort of the lightest glaze of Mass Effect 1 on it, which to me feels like the right sort of balance with the limited information I have.
Yeah, I mean, that was never a big sticking point for me, and I actually really preferred what, you know, Mass Effect 2's entire game system. To me, it was a vast improvement over the first one.
I had no fun in the first game picking up 500 pistols and 12 sniper rifles and all that crap. So that they had this system of weapons in the second game where each one was unique and there were maybe only two or three types is something that I wish more games would adopt, instead of just giving you this faceless mass of crap that you don't care about. But I think it's reasonable to complain that maybe like people were looking forward to an RPG and they got something that was, but was maybe a little less than they'd hoped for.
And they got a shooter with dialogue trees, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm in it for in the end.
Yeah.
If I can push down and right on the stick and be really mean to somebody, that's all I need.
I am artificially really happy that the Super Collector's Edition has a case for the game that has both male and female Shepard on it, because they never
put... Oh, yeah, that's nice.
They never put female Shepard on anything, goddammit, and I always play as female Shepard.
Yeah, no, it's really weird. I feel like a lot of people share that sentiment with you, and I do. I've played the girl one since I replayed the first game in anticipation of the second game, and she's got like the best voice actor, where the male Shepard is like sort of whatevs.
It's Jennifer Hill, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Which is like whenever somebody says it's a good voice actor, it tends to be Jennifer Hale.
Yeah.
But yeah, you watch promotional videos of Mass Effect 3 and there's a dude there and you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, hey, I don't care about this. Where's the character I played?
I don't know, but even if they put the girl in, it wouldn't be my like buzz cut with the scars on her face, really angular cheekbones girl, so I probably wouldn't be okay with it anyway.
Okay, so let's move on to Nintendo, because obviously all the big news came out of Nintendo, for fans of Nintendo. They started out with this big Legend of Zelda 25th anniversary thing, and they had the orchestra come up, and that orchestra clearly had not rehearsed anything, because they screwed up all their cues.
Hear them across the country on those Legend of Zelda symphony concerts they're having, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Traveling around the world.
So, are either of you still Zelda fans? Do you plan on buying whatever the next one is, Skyward Sword?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm not going to buy a Wii or a Wii U to make use of the controller for it, at least, but I'll give it a shot.
Dave?
No. Yeah. I think I'm officially out. I think Twilight Princess broke me.
Yeah, me too.
It's like, I can't play those games anymore, man. I don't want to go to the like water temple. I don't want to pick up a boomerang. Like, if those games were like 10 hours long or 15 hours long, Twilight Princess was 40 hours long.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I had all that stupid wolf shit in it. Yeah, just that. Yeah, I got maybe 4 hours into it and said, you know what? I don't think I want to play this.
So you didn't even get to the part where the video game actually starts.
So I'm going to be 4 hours
into
exaggeration.
The other crazy part about it. They expect you to play like 10 hours before you get to your first dungeon.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember doing this years ago, but I remember doing all that stupid forest stuff where you got to get the whatever to the lake or something. And I think I got past that and then said, and now we're just getting to the usual Zelda fire, forest, water, whatever temples. Okay. No more of this. But those games are all... they have this rabid fan base of people in their 30s who religiously play every single game that comes out, and I just don't understand how they can tolerate the repetition. It's the same fucking game over and over.
Modern people are the ones who try to figure out how all the Zelda games connect
together.
Timeline. I gotta say, my favorite Zelda is always going to be the Game Boy one, the Link's Awakening.
Oh yeah, hey, which you can buy now at the 3DS. Yes.
Oh, is that on the 3DS now?
Yeah, they put it in the little download store.
I mean, I opened up that 3D shop and I saw the Excitebike, but when I browsed through the games, I was like, yeah, Super Mario Land. I remember that game.
Alleyway.
That's how it's going to stay.
Super Mario Land is so fucking weird. It's also only 4 levels long, so yeah.
Yeah.
Really not worth buying. And it looks like it was drawn in MS Paint. It's a very old game.
But if you ever want to play Mario and fight a pharaoh, you got Super Mario Land.
Sphinx,
or Sphinx, yeah.
And get the weird off-brand princess, yeah.
they snuck her into canon eventually.
Yeah,
she's Luigi's girlfriend or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
That was the other thing. So they ran down all the 3DS games, and they announced Luigi's Mansion 2, which I thought was kind of funny, because Luigi's Mansion was basically a tech demo for the GameCube when it came out. And I remember when the GameCube came out, we all sat around playing hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of Monkey Ball, and... someone ran through Luigi's Mansion at one point, but it was totally a throwaway game. But I guess they just wanted to make it. Like, they just decided, let's revisit this. But I don't know if there's a lot of excitement around it.
Well, what's really weird about that is I think the people who remade Punch-Out are making Luigi's Mansion 2. So I guess that works. Like, I mean, Punch-Out was pretty well received. But I don't know. It's funny just to watch people's reaction to it, because I remember people going crazy that Luigi's Mansion came out on the GameCube and everybody was like, where the hell is Mario?
Yeah.
And now it's coming out for the 3DS and everybody seems to have forgotten that they all hated Luigi's Mansion.
Or hated that it wasn't a Mario game anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Which is like, you know, Luigi's Mansion was okay. It wasn't the worst game ever. It could be kind of fun.
No, it was like an 8-hour game. It's a real quick, short, look what the GameCube can do kind of graphics-wise thing, I think. Because it had all those stretchy effects and stuff like that. But other than that, it was like, oh boy, another Super Mario, another Mario Kart, Star Fox, you know, the same Nintendo properties. Dave, it sounds like you own a 3DS.
Yeah, I do. I don't own anything for it.
Okay.
I've been just going down the line renting things, but right now it's still Dragon Quest IX that sits in that thing day in, day out.
So did they announce anything that you're like, yeah, I'm going to buy that?
Maybe Luigi's Mansion. I'm trying to remember whatever else there was. I guess there's a Kirby coming out. I'm always down with Kirby.
I think that's for the original DS, the Massive Attack.
Oh, then that's why I just totally wasted my money. That's fine.
What about Kid Icarus?
I don't care about Kid Icarus. Because I can't get over the stigma of the original Nintendo game.
Yeah,
I hated that game so much when I was a kid.
Gosh. Yeah, well, the thing I was kind of like, oh, Kid Icarus. I remember being frustrated with that as a child. And they showed the new one, and they showed a bunch of monster designs, and it all looks really lifted from, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, it's got that real kind of this-is-a-shitty-children's-anime kind of look to it. So I wasn't that impressed. But I guess now there's a card game, some kind of AR card battle thing that they're going to do as well. Maybe that'll work out for them. But then
I just saw some news story where they're saying, like, get your AR cards before the game comes out.
Or whatever.
Or get them tattooed on yourself either way.
Oh, man, that guy.
Yeah.
When the iPhone wins, you're going to feel really salty, dude.
Imagine 20 years what that guy's going to think about that.
At least it looks like something you can pass off as a normal, maybe not normal, but it's not like having, Lump from Urusei Yatsura tattooed on your shoulder.
Hey, now.
Sorry.
It's sort of the equivalent of having the Game Boy card reader somehow embedded into your skin.
Yeah.
But they showed a new Super Mario, and I always get tempted. Every time there's a new Super Mario, I'm always like, I kind of feel like playing Super Mario.
Well, they brought back the Tanuki suit for this one, I think, which is...
They did, and wow, that's amazing, I guess. I thought it was in some of the other games. I guess it hasn't been around since the third one. I don't know. I didn't play all the way through Galaxy.
I know I'm in the way, way minority here, but any of those 3D Marios, just I can't play them. I never even got past Mario 64.
Oh, yeah. I finished that, and then that was it. And I haven't finished one since then.
For me, it's just been... That's just one of those games that's 2D for me. I never really jived going 3D with a platformer. I mean, maybe all the Castlevanias for the Nintendo 64 just ruined me.
Well, those will ruin you on life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and that's a good... So after all of that, then they brought out the new controller.
The Wii U,
which at this point doesn't matter what you call your console. I mean, it can sound as stupid as it was. The Vita is a dumb name too. You know, they could have somebody in the forums legitimately, unironically said, well, since, you know, the screen's portable, why didn't they call it the Wii P? Like, are you joking? He wasn't joking. And then again, they could have called it that, and we all would have giggled like we did when they said Wii, you know, 5-6 years ago or whatever. And it would have sold 86 million units or whatever. So I guess, Todd, what's your take on this thing?
Well, you know, basically you can game on the crapper. That's the whole angle of it. You can take your Mario game and go into the bathroom. And I don't know if that's really too much of a point for the existing Wii games. But it seems like they're going for what they wanted to do with the GameCube and those little Game Boy Advance connector cables.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you could look at the touchscreen and at the Game Boy screen and see what you were doing on there.
In defense of that, I had a lot of fun playing that Four Swords Zelda mm-hmm. game where all you do is just grief your friends.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it's sort of like creating a second screen for your TV, and I guess there's a plague across the nation of people playing video games and someone comes into the room and wants to watch TV. And so they've designed this entire console experience around solving that particular problem.
I think that's probably more real than you expect. I think it's like, as people who like to play video games get older and get married,
yeah.
And maybe many of them don't marry sort of within the nerd sphere.
Right.
there's a lot of people with wives or husbands who don't really appreciate what a video game is and don't really get it when you say I got to find a save point or something along that lines. So if somebody wants to watch Home and Garden or Baseball, which is like, by the way, Nintendo, best acting. When it's like, hey, it's time to watch Baseball, which is
clearly
a thing I frequently said to my roommates. I could dig on the idea of just swiping it down to your little handheld thing and just maybe go into the bathroom with it. That's cool because, yeah, God forbid you're away from the TV for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
In this ADHD rattled world of which I am a part, I can sympathize with that. I feel them. I really want this to be good because when all those rumors were floating around about screens in the controller, I was like, they're going to make a video game console that is just for playing Pac-Man Versus, and I will buy it. I will buy that.
Yeah.
And they already kind of did because they made that Wii game that is functionally just Pac-Man Versus.
Right.
But with Mario characters or whatever.
And so do if the Wii U titles interest you? I think Pikmin has been announced or and
Lego
the stuff. Yeah.
It's just Pikmin and Lego. But no, I mean, it was basically like, okay, so we have all the Wii functionality and we're going to give you an iPad to play it on. And, also you can play PS3 and Xbox 360 games on your Nintendo console, which you couldn't do with the Wii. You'd have to play some shitty PS2 port, basically. So they've added that functionality. And, unless there are some totally kick-ass first party Nintendo games, I'm not going to buy it because if it's just like, oh, I can play, Darksiders 2 on a Nintendo console instead of the Xbox that's already in my house, that's not that appealing to me. I don't know.
Well, what would you really want to see, though, as far as the first-party Nintendo games?
Good question, because I'm kind of tired of all of them, and I don't... like
not they, Metroid or anything? Or,
no, they kind of... Metroid has been ruined, I feel.
Oh, boy.
Especially with the that last one, Other M. I played like an hour of it and said, no, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked the last Metroid games I really liked were on the Game Boy Advance.
But now, just like the DS, second screen, map.
There you go.
Because that's what it's going to end up being. Like, they're already using that shit for Zelda inventory. Like, we know exactly the trajectory this is going because it already happened with the DS.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of potential there, and all they were doing is showing us basically proof of concept stuff, and we don't really know anything that much about it. As it comes out, as more information comes out, I'm a nerd. Eventually, I will be suckered into buying one of these things. But I will tell you, the big structural flaw that I see is while they were demoing this stuff, they would show 5 people playing a multiplayer game together. One person has the neat new controller. 4 other people have regular Wii controllers. Now, if you're a dad and your 4 children decide that they all want to get to use the special controller, which I understand only one works with the console. You can't have more than one operating at the same time with one console. So they're going to fight over who gets the special controller. Like, if you're a parent, that's a nightmare.
Well, not too much. You can always say dad gets the controller and everyone else gets the crappy Wii remotes. But
yeah, or they could have gone the other way and said, yeah, you can use multiple controllers. By the way, these controllers are $130 a piece.
Mm. Well, I think they've said that at least in the short term, it's only one of those controllers per console.
Right. Yeah.
Which kind of sucks because it immediately wipes out any chance for stuff like Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, which I think was the glimmer in everybody's eye when this thing was announced.
Well, that and like Madden, where if you're playing with a buddy on your couch, I don't want him to see my plays, which he can if he looks at the screen, you know. It'd be fun to have that on a screen he can't see. I don't know. It's got potential, but I guess knowing that Nintendo does what they always do, which is rehash the same 5 properties over and over again and come up with a new technology in order to rehash those same 5 properties, it just wasn't that. Just wasn't that exciting.
Right. And I think a lot of people were also disappointed that in terms of the new properties, Nintendo really didn't announce anything that's available in Japan, like that Last Story RPG and Xenoblade and Pandora's Tower. I mean, most people were thinking Nintendo wasn't going to announce all of them, but I think that they were a little disappointed in that Nintendo didn't put anything down for that.
So a bunch of RPGs aimed at hardcore fans are
just exactly. That's kind of the running thing going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I really didn't expect Nintendo to pay that much attention to it, but they didn't even acknowledge it at all.
Well, not everybody kind of figured Xenoblade was just a shoo-in, right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't even notice that it wasn't mentioned.
It's already coming out in Europe, translated and everything, so.
Yeah.
Maybe they just haven't announced it yet, or nobody's picked up the license for that or something. I don't know. Would it have to be released by Nintendo, or are they angling for somebody else to come in and swipe it up?
Well, it's Nintendo's European branch that was bringing it out over there, so people figured that Nintendo would bring it out over here. And Nintendo has a tendency not to really let their, even the games they published in Japan come out over here through other publishers. I mean, nobody bought Mother 3?
Oh, yeah.
For that. So if Nintendo doesn't do it, it's kind of unlikely that another company will, although I could see Exceed Games or some other publisher like that picking up at least, Pandora's Tower is an action game, so it doesn't have that much dialogue. I imagine that wouldn't be too hard to translate. But for a publisher to take a chance on a Wii RPG with a lot of translation to go through that would be a huge risk, especially since people just don't buy games like that on their Wii too often.
Yeah, plus I would imagine at this point the new adaption rate for the Wii is going to drop pretty hard now that they've announced, the successor.
No, it's sort of a cycle that people have. They see the Wii as a kiddie system, so publishers don't come out with hardcore games, and the hardcore games that do come out don't sell because people see it as a kiddie system, and it just goes round and round.
Or inferior port, yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and get to Twitter because we got a lot of Twitter questions. Okay. Das Grego asks, will Capcom release a game that has nothing to do with Resident Evil, Mega Man, or Street Fighter? And if not, why not?
Well, yeah, there's the new Devil May Cry. Haven't you seen that?
Oh, right. He forgot. Yeah. I guess he forgot that one.
Let's not talk about that. I mean, that's my own bias showing through, but let's prove Ninja Theory can put out a good game before they make a Devil May Cry.
Oh, you didn't like Enslaved?
No, I didn't like push one button and win at every platform. I mean, this is something I was thinking about with L.A. Noir, too. I mean, I haven't really solidified my thoughts on games without failure states. But if there's a game without a failure state, it is Enslaved. Like, that was just one shot all the way through. But, I mean, I say they got Resident Evil, Mega Man. What more do they need?
Mm-hmm. Now, Capcom did announce something called Dragon's Dogma at E3. It's kind of their attempt at going after Western multiplayer RPGs. It doesn't look that good, though, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, trying to catch that Monster Hunter lightning in a bottle over and over again is rough. And they tried before, but I'm honestly a little sad that Lost Planet 2 didn't catch on as sort of questionable in value as it was. Me and my three friends had a lot of fun playing that, and that was their first shot at getting Western people to tricking them to play Monster Hunter.
I cannot even imagine how upset they must be that didn't turn into an American cash cow as it is for them in Japan. That Monster Hunter just fell on its face here. They must be so upset. From Elliot Page, he wants to know, Dave, how many copies of the Zone of Enders HD collection will you be buying?
Probably just the one. I mean, I'm pretty excited about it. But at the same time, if you buy it for two, you got to get one. And so it sort of cancels it out. Because the first one is just the worst. That is not a good game. But the second one is so good. And then, I don't know. If they're ever going to make a third one, I guess I got to buy like 50 of them.
Well, what did you think of the Game Boy Advance strategy game that they had?
Yeah, it was okay. It was like just baby's first strategy game. Like, it was pretty simple. It wasn't that exciting. It was a lot more. Not that the Zone of the Enders games are not anime, but the Fist of Mars was like super, super generic anime, like semi-older guy who's got a lot of guts and all that crap. Like, a lot of the just sort of rogue character types.
I get the impression that really didn't take off like Konami wanted it to, where they had different anime series and based on Zone of the Enders, and it was
They were all bad. Like, the Eidola was like kind of okay, and the TV series was like about, what was the guy, like an interstellar garbage
construction worker?
Construction worker.
Everyone bought Zone of the Enders for the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo.
Yeah, the first game.
I remember that. I got more hours out of that demo.
I think everybody did. Like, shoot. Oh, wow, you can shoot every individual glass bottle on the bar and they break.
Oh, yeah. It's oh, like, man.
Oh, yeah, I guess there's this whole full video game here, too, but whatever.
And then you get the demo that doesn't tell you who you'll actually be playing through most of the game.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Jimbo Slice asks, he says he always thought that the best games had stories that could be summed up a la Bad Dudes. What do you think?
Oh, one sentence or something?
I guess so. I think it's a facetious question.
Well, you know, you can kind of say that about anything. If you can't sum a story up in one sentence, you're telling it too complicated. But as we go up and game stories get more complicated, a lot of times in action games too, it just doesn't connect right. I mean, you were talking about that earlier where in L.A. Noire, the gameplay doesn't really come through with what they're trying to portray. So, hey, who knows?
I don't know. I like a good story. I thought Red Dead Redemption, for example, had a really good
Red
story.
Dead Redemption had like a super great climax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the sort of the apex of that game, three quarters of the way through, was fantastic. And I felt it kind of petered off after that.
Yeah, it did. And I have absolutely no desire to play that zombie thing. All right. Paul Freeland asks, this is a loaded question, are there more good video games based on movies or good movies based on video games?
If I can speak specifically from my podcast experience, for video games based on movies, that gives us the inimitable Street Fighter, the movie, the game of the movie. So that's a hard bar to beat. But just from my experience doing a podcast about anime, and specifically bad anime, stuff like Armor of Mars and Battle Arena Toshinden and Tekken, there's essentially a limitless supply of fighting games that have been turned into anime that are just awful. And just like,
they've all been released
Tekken,
over here.
There's Invisible Commando Dinosaurs.
I don't think
the dad drops his son into a pit with lions in the beginning.
And they've released all of them over here. That's at least I think everything. Like Variable Geos, even games that didn't even come over here. Yeah. It's amazing.
Somebody put out that Virtua Fighter TV series, didn't they?
Yeah, they actually dubbed it so that it was watchable, believe it or not.
In terms of movies, the only video game movies I will even come close to defending in any capacity are like a couple of the Resident Evil movies and the first Mortal Kombat. Just in terms of being entertaining garbage, those are not bad for entertaining trash. They're not good. They're not like legitimately good movies. But most of the others are pretty unwatchable.
Well, Silent Hill comes up sometimes.
I was okay with it. I mean, it was tried a little
for something different than a usual video game movie, but I don't know.
I feel like in retrospect, so the Silent Hill movie was sort of the beginning of the American, or I guess the director's French, but American production, just really trying to ape Silent Hill 2. Everything they do, which now we've played like three games so far made by Americans or the English that are just, oh, well, we really like Silent Hill 2, so here's some Silent Hill fan fiction. We stuck Pyramid and Ed in there because he's the best. Like,
and to go back to anime, Street Fighter 2, the animated movie, is actually kind of fun to watch, so I'll give it that.
Hell yeah, that's old school. All right, J.R. Neminich asks, do you think we've seen the end of single-player games that don't need online multiplayer for the game to be fun? Well, I hope not.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. Like, I wonder if that question is based on, there was something that people totally misread that Valve said maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were like, oh, yeah, we don't really see any of our games as being wholly single player anymore, which does not mean that there's going to be deathmatch and capture the flag in Portal 3. It's right. Just they believe in connectivity, and whether that takes the shape of useless Facebook and Twitter dongles or whatevs, like, people still want to play video games by themselves. If they didn't, then L.A. Noire and every other Rockstar video game wouldn't sell millions and millions of copies.
Yeah.
So I don't foresee that dying out anytime soon.
Well, to me, that whole thing seemed to be more like, well, look at Portal 2. You get this great single-player experience, and then there's basically another game on the disc that happens to be multiplayer.
Yeah, you segue perfectly into the co-op, which my heart will always lie with co-op. And stuff like Assassin's Creed, where I could not care less about the single-player. They came out of the gate with like one of the best multiplayer games.
Yeah, you know, that's weird because I didn't care for the Assassin's Creed multiplayer that much. I thought it was okay, but I dumped hours and hours and hours into those damn games.
I mean, I played the second game because a coworker of mine lent it to me. But when I heard about the multiplayer for Brotherhood, where it just visions of the Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow multiplayer would start dancing in my head, and we just five or six of us got that game and just made our own parties and did the 2v2v2, and just the idea of stalking somebody and not knowing who is stalking you at the same time just is so completely different from your average deathmatch that I could not help but love it.
All right. From Steve Brandon OTT, he wants to know, do you think it'll take Sony a half a decade again to bring their flagship Gran Turismo franchise to the PlayStation Vita? Probably. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what kind of question that is. It's like, yeah, probably. They've sort of barely brought the Gran Turismo franchise to the PS3 at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That seems like one of those where I don't know how well Gran Turismo sells anymore. It seems like it's got this super hardcore fan base, and then that's it. Because I don't know anyone that isn't like really hardcore into racing games that can even play Gran Turismo. I can't play it. Like, I will spin out the minute I touch the fucking controller. I'm awful at racing games.
Yeah, and that's been its problem from the start, Ken. I mean, a lot of people who were used to Ridge Racer or whatever just tried it and gave up on it. Yeah. But I don't think Sony can really afford to ignore it either, so, hey.
No, I mean, there will probably be a Gran Turismo on the Vita, and it will probably come out in 2014 or something like that.
Well, I sort of believe that if the opposition has their racing game, you have to have yours, right? Mm-hmm. So Microsoft has Forza, so I assume they'll keep putting money behind Gran Turismo just to make it appear that they have the same sort of parity.
Yeah, but hasn't the racing crowd kind of moved over to Forza at this point? Like, that's all the comments I see, is that now they're just playing Forza.
One would think. I remember maybe a month or so ago, I saw one lonely dude on the subway paging through a Gran Turismo manual. It's just like, don't get too excited. You're going to get home and be real disappointed.
A single tear rolling down his cheek.
Yeah.
JL Lane Nelson asks, has there been a brain drain in the anime industry due to the growth of the video game industry in the last decade?
To some extent, there has been, although I really haven't seen anybody who's working in the video game industry who made me say to myself, you know, I really wish that guy was making anime. So
yeah,
it's kind of hard to say. I mean, they've got some people are doing side projects in the anime industry that and also the video game industry, like Makoto Shinkai, the guy who does all the movies about the sad teenagers in love. Mm-hmm. He also makes intros to dating simulators now and then.
Yeah, who was the guy that did Xenogears?
Oh, Tetsuya Takahashi?
Yeah, he clearly wanted to make just a movie.
Yeah.
And he should have just made a damn movie instead of making me play through that shit.
Well, let's say he's learned his lesson now with Xenoblade, and he's actually made a game where you actually play it. So. Oh,
wow. Well, I will say that having talked to a number of professionals in Japan and work in the anime industry, they do blame video games partially for brain drain. That it's taken a lot of the creative talent away because the pay is better. The hours aren't any better, but the pay is better in games than it is in anime. It's not quite as thankless work. So they have blamed it for that. But at the same time, the canard about brain drain in Japanese entertainment industry is just as true and just as said just as often about games as it is about anime at this point. I mean, half the articles you read about the Japanese gaming industry is how they're now falling really far behind the West in terms of development and success. So, I mean, that's practically the only story you read anymore about the Japanese gaming industry. So, I don't know.
Yeah, to some extent, do you think that's a lot of the anime industry's fault for being basically so low-paying that the game industry is just able to siphon those people off?
Maybe. I couldn't give you a lesson on the economics of it, just because off the top of my head, I don't really know. But in any creative industry, if you're a comic book artist and you want to make comic books for a living, and you can make six figures, you know, at a top shelf, becoming an artist for a top shelf game design studio, why wouldn't you just do that? You know, I mean, I would imagine if the game studio is hiring artists and the animation studio is hiring artists, and you're going to make 50% more at the game studio, well, that's where you're going to go. You know, got to put food on the table. So, yeah, I mean, it's just basic logic dictates that, sure, I guess so. But anyway, moving on. Manime podcast, specifically for Dave. He says, after raving about Monster Tail, I thought you were going to do the review for Otaku USA, but it wasn't you. What happened?
Honestly, I didn't even know Otaku USA reviewed Monster Tail. I don't really go out of my way to get the comped copies, which is maybe my own fault. But I don't generally pitch stuff to them that isn't Japanese games. That's sort of the purview of that magazine. And while Monster Tail has obvious roots in that style, it is not a Japanese game. It's a good game, though. I'm actually kind of glad that people are bringing it up now. That means it has not been forgotten. And I'd encourage anyone listening that if you're interested in the Metroid, Castlevania sort of thing, Monster Tail is the way to go.
What platform is that on?
It's on DS.
Okay. All right. Itoju asks, going on, what platform do you think will have the most robust support from Japanese developers and North American releases for those titles?
Well, you know, I'd almost say the among the consoles, that maybe the PS3.
I mean,
there's no question that it's going to be the Sony stuff, right? If you include DS, then maybe that.
Mm.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is all the new stuff announced at E3, Vita's probably going to have the strongest Japanese support, just because they love them, the PSP over there.
Yeah, unless you like old school shooters, in which case you're going to want an Xbox 360, because all the Japanese hardcore shooter makers are putting their games on that.
You're talking about like cave style shooters.
Yeah, cave,
right?
Is devoted to the 360 for some reason. So,
yeah. All right. So Sony, basically. North Star blog. Any truth to the idea that video games make people more accepting of repetition and tedium, resulting in a tolerance for worse anime? That's an interesting theory. I had not heard that before.
That's about the most bizarre theory I've ever heard. I think it's probably more likely that people have a natural limit for repetition and tedium that would work equally well on either genre. I don't think playing a lot of World of Warcraft is going to make you appreciate, love Hina more.
Mm.
Some sort of, middle-of-the-road anime like that.
Although, in a way, you can... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I don't think you can train your mind to sort of, dumb yourself down. I don't think that's what's happening.
Well, in a way, you can blame video games, though, for some of the stuff that's leaked over from dating simulators into the anime industry.
Well, that's true.
Because a lot of that started off as video games where you had one male character who was not even a character dating a bunch of girls who all fit different stereotypes and fetishes and stuff like that. And now that accounts for, 90% of anime getting made?
Yeah,
so.
But that came out of anime first. I mean, there was Tenchi before there was Air.
Well, yeah, you're talking about two different things, though.
It's kind of weird, though, because if you look at the stuff from the 80s where they didn't really have the whole harem anime so much as they just had either of love triangles or stuff like that. And in the 90s, when dating simulator games got more popular in Japan, they had stuff like Tenchi, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go and give the most distilled version of the form of the Air and Kenon style, then yeah, that did not really exist before video games, but that didn't spring out of nothing.
Mm-hmm,
and for my money, if those things didn't exist, I would have 3 to 4 less podcast episodes that were really fun. Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten to define Urban Dictionary. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly had an impact. I do think the blank slate non-character male hero in a harem anime, like an Air or Kenon, definitely is the influence of video games, because they're just putting the player in, it's you. You're this guy. And so we can't give him a personality, because that would, somehow infringe on your little fantasy.
But I think if you went to brass tacks, the difference between Mr. Blah 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 from Kenon and the Tenchi is not all that great.
Are you suggesting that Tenchi was not a brilliantly written character with depth?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know your audience, so I don't necessarily feel the need to pander to them. I'm just saying that if the show wasn't named Tenchi, maybe he would be Mr. Blah Blah Blah.
Yeah, but he had hilarious reactions.
All those other guys too. Yeah. What's the name of the guy in Love Hina? I don't know, but he's the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Grey Ghost Net asks, which would be your bathroom companion? Mario Kart 3DS or Mario Kart Wii U? Oh, okay. Which would you rather play on the shitter?
That's a personal question there. Wow.
Well, that's a problem. If I had to go with it, I'd say, oh, I'm really excited about that Castlevania game. But then you're just sitting there in the bathroom looking at the map for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, you know, the 3DS, if you're going to play with the 3D on, you got to hold it at a real specific angle. You know,
so if you're really getting into it.
Yeah. Here's another silly question. Giga Shame, what's the best food to eat while your hands are occupied playing video games?
Man, this is how you know I ask for questions.
I don't know, morphine drip?
Yeah, then a milkshake, so you can just sort of lean over and sip at it with a straw.
What was the gamer grub they came out with?
Oh, yeah, but see, you still need a hand for that, unless you're going to find a way to get it in an IV. Like, you still need one hand. That's more for your PC player who can pick it up while they're pushing forward on the keyboard. They take their hand off the mouse, grab some gamer grub, and they're back in a second to aim. But like with the controller, I don't know if you get the same sort of use out of it.
Well, what you could do is buy like an adjustable music stand, set the stand so that it's flat, get like a tray of pizza rolls, put it on the stand, and just sort of lean your head over and pathetically try to get the pizza rolls into your mouth.
Or you could just tip it up and try and slide some of them into your mouth.
There you go.
Just let them stick to your shirt and eat them off it with your mouth as you go.
Well, I'm comforted now that it wouldn't be a podcast that I was on without some questions about food. I was really feeling out of my element.
All right, Soundwave CA asks, are there any good anime-based games that aren't RPGs or TRPGs?
Well, yeah, there's the Astro Boy game for the Game Boy Advance.
People really seem to like the Fist of the North Star Dynasty Warriors game, but I wonder if that isn't a bit of confirmation bias.
Yes.
But one game that's really worth considering is there was a Lupin the Third game for PS2.
That one? The Curse of the King, or something like that?
Yeah, something Treasure. I don't remember what it's called exactly. But it's like a stealth action game, and it's really... It's not the best game ever. It's competently handled. But there's been a lot of talk about Zone of the Enders. Zone of the Enders is not originally an anime game, but two very well might as well be its own anime. And there's always GoGo 13 for the Nintendo. Berlin at Night and Iron Curtain doesn't seem right.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And there's the Ghost in the Shell game for the PlayStation. If we're going all the way back.
I don't think anybody liked that.
What?
Come on. I think more people like the Go-Go game. Or like the...
That Go-Go game is pretty awful when you get
I don't remember what they called it in the U.S. Oh, the UN Squadron. The arcade game.
Oh, Area 88. Yeah, yeah. That's
on the Super Nintendo, too. And that's if you like side-scrolling shooters, it's like a pretty okay side-scrolling shooter. All my roommates really like those like Dragon Ball Z, Budokai, Tenkaichi... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've played a little bit, I've played a couple of Naruto fighting games, and they're competent. You know, they're not bad brawlers, or bad fighters, anyway.
Didn't they just release one that was like an adventure game, sort of an action RPG that people over?
I think
what was that, Rise of a Legend or something?
I don't remember the exact title. I just remember a lot of people who were decidedly not anime fans being stunned and being like, wow, this game is actually kind of fun.
Yeah, it was for the 360, and it actually looked really good. I think that's what got a lot of attention for it.
I mean, I really think a more accurate question is, are there any anime games that are not fighting games? There's like 500 Bleach games for the DS, and you're going after like RPGs, like Magic Knight Rayer for the Saturn?
Yeah, there's not. I mean, maybe he's broadening it out to just any JRPG that looks like anime.
Yeah,
so like Star Ocean or whatever.
Valkyria Chronicles, get on that piece. More people need to buy those games.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the third one hasn't been announced for US release.
Yeah, get that over here. I tried to play the demo in Japanese.
Actually, it looks interesting. Unlike the second one, which
the second one was not as good.
Third one's
did have a flamethrower tech.
Dozen in the third one.
Yeah,
the shadow. Unit or something.
Yeah, they're going back to, well, you know, that whole second game, and we had all the kids, and that didn't really work out. So this is a game about the first game again. Mm. Everybody buy it. And I will, if you make it available to me.
Anyway, so Maddie125 asks, is the game industry going to crash eventually? I don't know.
Well, yeah, when the sun burns out, you know, it'll.
Yeah, I mean, like, people are still buying video games. They're just going to keep thinking up new gimmicks to make people who are getting older and people who are younger to buy stuff. And
honestly, so long as they keep it in this model of a DRM box that makes piracy difficult and breaks your console so you can't get online with it and just makes piracy more of a pain than it's worth. Yeah, I mean, this current model, if you want to play, you know, L.A. Noire, you have to buy a PS3 or an Xbox. And unless you're like crazy console hacker guy, which is not that common, you know, you're going to pay $60 for it. You're going to buy the console for $300. It's a good model. It's a good way to get people to say, yes, you have to pay for this if you want to play it, you know, unless you're a crazy hacker guy.
So the game industry is never going to be hit as bad as the anime industry was by piracy.
Yeah, I would say not. If they keep things going the way they're going, where the box is locked down, and the biggest, you know, one of the big features that gets people to buy games is the ability to play online, and the company controls how and when you can do that, and they can stop you from doing it if they want to, or if they notice that your console is hacked. It's a really effective way to keep piracy on the down low. And I know people are going to say, oh, there's plenty of game piracy. Yeah, there's plenty of game piracy, but not to the point where it stops Call of Duty from selling $500 million in units on day one. You know, yeah. It's more successful than movies at this point.
And there is one thing about the game industry, though, that is kind of bothering me. I mean, Hudson, you might remember them. They did Bomberman Adventure Island. They closed down their U.S. branch, and one of the guys who worked there said that in the game industry nowadays, you really can't be like a mid-level company, like a B-list company anymore. You've either got to be a large company that has all these properties and extends out, and or a small indie developer that's just a few people looking to make a breakout hit. That a lot of the middleweight developers are getting basically absorbed by other companies because Hudson got bought by Konami. So that is kind of something that is just worrying, but that's not going to crash the game industry.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay for a little while. All right, getting down to the end here. Okay, Raylith asks, what do you think about the fighting game revival and the state of survival horror games?
Can I answer for Joel, since the power outage prevented him from being here?
Yes.
I think he would say something along the lines of Street Fighter 3 Online. Oh, my God. I'm all for it. I can't believe they keep making fighting games and people keep buying them. Like, I thought that was dead years ago.
Yeah, I guess not.
Well, I just bought Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, so I'm part of that, I guess. Although I'm kind of waiting to see what Street Fighter... I guess it's called Street Fighter X Tekken or Cross Tekken. I forget.
Cross Tekken, yeah. Well, it really rolls off the tongue, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll see how that does because they're making two different versions of it and they're putting it on the Vita and everything else. So, I don't know. I gotta see if anybody really cares by that point.
Well, the question is, does Street Fighter pull up Tekken or does Tekken drag down Street Fighter?
Yeah. Well, hey, they announced the guy from Infamous as a playable character.
Cole or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Great. But like in the one, because in the tank, one of them, they're not, nobody's going to have fireballs because it's got to be in line with Tekken style, right?
Right.
Or they just didn't give the Tekken people fireballs to keep up with the Street Fighter guys. I don't envy them for balance, but they're putting a guy who has laser powers in there. So
in the video they showed, Ken or Ryu throws a fireball at one of the Tekken guys.
The most recent was that the Tekken guys just aren't going to have any long range stuff.
Well, I think that video was actually the Street Fighter versus Tekken, which is being made by the Street Fighter people. So I guess they're bringing the Tekken people in.
Hey, if the game has P-Jack in it and you can do that forward punch move that you can beat the entirety of like Tekken 2 or whatever it was on the PlayStation with, yeah, it's unstoppable. But I know.
One thing about the fighting, I guess, renaissance or whatever you want to call it, it's really only brought up Street Fighter that much. I mean, you have BlazBlue and whatnot, but some other companies that have tried to bring back, like King of Fighters, they really kind of struggled with that because King of Fighters 12 was a kind of a fiasco, basically. So it hasn't been lucky for some people as it's been for Capcom.
And Mortal Kombat's doing okay, right? Yeah. I approve of Mortal Kombat, but... I mean, it's not solely Street Fighter, even if Street Fighter is the most noticeable. I don't know how Soul Calibur is doing these days. Good enough to get Soul Calibur 5, I guess. But did he also ask about survival horror games?
He did, but I want to put a quick button on the fighting game thing. I honestly believe that the reason fighting games kind of died out during the PS2 era was we didn't have multiplayer function. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. To me, that's a crucial component, is having new opponents to play against, because there's no arcades anymore. So the Xbox Live has basically recreated the arcade. You can go online anytime and have new people to play against, and that makes it more fun. So to me, that's like a pretty obvious correlation between the two. But anyway, so survival horror.
Do we still call it that?
I mean, it depends. They are selling the Resident Evil game for 3DS as a straight-up survival horror game.
Okay, yeah.
This is not going to be like Resident Evil 4 and 5. It's going to be more like the original ones, and I'm so totally down with that. I don't know if I would call it a revival, though, when that's pretty much the only game.
Yeah.
You've also got the Shadows of the Damned, I guess, which is, what's his name, Suda51's other... his idea of telling a dick joke and getting people to make a game out of it.
I don't know. As someone who whittle away my Sunday hours these days doing live streams of Resident Evil games to show people who never had the chance what those games are like, and I've had a few deaths in Code Veronica on the most recent one where I had to keep starting over. And, you know, you don't save in those games. You got to get the S rank. But if they kept making them, I would keep buying them, but nobody wants to buy them. Like, I don't. So Silent Hill has sort of stayed true to its roots, even throughout these atrocious sequels they've been putting out. And I presume the new one's going to go down that path too. But I don't think survival horror really exists anymore. It's super limited doses. Like, Dead Space had that hard difficulty that made it a little less action, a little more survival, but you can't count on it like in its heyday with Carrier and Blue Stinger, Fear Effect. Yeah, all those games. They were all awful, though. I mean, that's the problem. People think fondly of survival horror, but there was Silent Hill and Resident Evil and all the other crap.
Like D2 or whatever they had.
The Fatal Frame was okay, depending on the game. But most of that stuff was just outright garbage, and we're probably better rid of it. But if they could figure out a way to make a good Resident Evil game in that old style, I would be there day one.
Did they market the original Parasite Eve as a survival horror?
I think they did to an extent. I mean, I think they called it a horror RPG.
RPG or something like that. Yeah.
And the second game was not survival horror. It was like a survival horror RPG, which I love that second game, and I'm probably the only person who does. But
I never got all the way through it. I love that first one, though. We were talking about this a little earlier. Vicious Smith says, now that Dante is an emaciated lung cancer patient who seems to cut his own hair, are you interested in the new Devil May Cry?
I mean, aside from survival horror, those types of games, which I guess the press calls character action games, which is a term I'm not entirely comfortable with, those are my favorite type of games. I mean, I love me some Bayonetta, and I love Ninja Gaiden, and I love Devil May Cry, but I just don't have any faith in those guys to make a game that I understand as Devil May Cry. Their combat from Heavenly Sword and Enslaved, as an example, is a lot of push one button and kind of see what the magic that happens on screen, to the point where in the last boss in Heavenly Sword, I went through two of his three phases hitting one button while I was reading the internet after the first couple times I died on the third phase. So just like, I feel them. I want them to make more Devil May Cry games. Those are good. Those style of games speak to me, but who's to say they can make a good one? I don't think it has anything to do with, like, oh, my God, Dante is so emo. Like, if they can make it. I mean, Bayonetta was a good game, and that did not have the best trappings in the world.
Yeah, and the thing is, they've got a lot more competition for Devil May Cry now, and you've got, like, what's it called, Ashura's Wrath El Shaddai, I guess, and they're just a little more stylish, I guess, than a reboot of Devil May Cry. It's like something a comic book company would do, I guess. Or they just want to reimagine, for no reason, a character that they've had success with.
I mean, I would say, like, at this point, no, I'm not too interested in a new Devil May Cry, but Bayonetta 2, please. That would be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. If they can just keep funding Platinum. Just let them do whatever they want.
I'm surprised they didn't put her in Anarchy Reigns or whatever it is, because they put the guy from Mad World in that game. But not...
Oh, God. They're just trying to get some more dividends on Mad World, I guess. Hey, guys, wow. Remember this game we made? No.
Yeah, answer no. All right, Chrono Cross XP. Chrono Cross. Please ask Dave if he's ever beaten God Hand in the highest difficulty.
I don't know. I think I know your taste, Todd. You probably played God Hand, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever done it on the highest difficulty?
No, I've never.
But it's kind of impossible, right? Because the way that game is set up, to beat it on the highest difficulty, you have to play absolutely flawlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Because the difficulty scales with how well you're doing. So I don't know how many people actually have, much less that game just kind of is pretty jank. And I don't know who could put in the time to really learn the ins and outs. Like, as much as I love God Hand, that is a busted-ass game.
I'm sure somebody on YouTube has gone through it, because...
Yeah, I bet.
It's a fan base, yeah. There are people who are nuts about it.
And it's just a good game, and it's pretty fun, but it's like... I can't see anyone having the patience to play that game at the hardest level.
Okay, so answer is no.
No. Yeah, I don't think I even beat it at, like, level 2 or whatever. Like, when I could consistently stay at level 2, that was a good God Hand session.
I'm gonna skip to these last two just to get to these last two, because they're friends of the show, and in one case, an employee of the site. Daryl Surratt asks, which do you do more often, watch anime or play video games? Do you play more good video games or watch more good anime? And good is in quotes.
Daryl.
This is
some confirmation bias. I'm sorry to use it twice on the same podcast. But Daryl, I mean, I don't know about you, Todd, but I know Daryl knows I play more video games. I know Daryl knows I play more good video games and watch good anime. He's got a whole thesis going that, you know, anime is people's secondary hobby. And they always like something more. And video games is the most common example of that, which is obviously true in my case. And that he says good anime feels like a slight as me as well, because I can't remember the last time we watched good anime on our podcast. But, you know, bad anime can be good, too.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of forgotten what good anime is like. Like, I remember Paprika. That was pretty good. What was that again?
96.
Summer Wars was good. That was the last good anime.
I watched Summer Wars, and I thought it was
okay.
I liked The Girl Who Leapt Through Time way more.
Like that better, really?
Yeah, I fell in love with that main character. And maybe it's just because I could see a little of her in me.
Mm.
I felt like the people in Summer Wars were a lot more like, this is the guy who likes computers, and this is the guy who's good at math.
This is you, but he's good at things. So.
Which is not to say that there wasn't some of that in The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, but she kept rolling through that karaoke door, and I was like, that's what I would do.
I got to say, though, I thought Summer Wars just held together a little better, because he did not know how to end The Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
No, that's fair. The Girl Who Leapt Through Time has a pretty painful ending, but that middle part is what really enchanted me.
Yeah, well, I think that's why most people give that movie a pass, even though it completely derails in the third act. But
It's just like sort of out of nowhere. You're like, oh, okay, this is here's 15 minutes of exposition.
Yeah.
Being that I write about video games every week, I do spend more time playing video games than I do watching anime. Although I think I've gotten to the point where when I do watch anime, I actually want to watch something that's either that's actually good instead of, you know, cheesy old stuff. Although I haven't watched a lot of anime in while time at.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really answer this question because anime is my full-time job, so I watch a lot of it, and I don't always necessarily see good stuff, but I watch enough of it to know that there's at least, I would say at this point, there's at least 5 things a year worth watching that I would unequivocally say good and worth your time.
I would agree with that. Have you seen Redline yet?
No, I have not. I'm waiting for the Blu-ray.
Okay.
Looking forward to that, very much so. But there were a couple of good things this year already so far, and we're not even, you know, halfway through the year yet. But I will say, in reference to Daryl's apparent pet theory, just looking at the numbers, of course more people play video games than watch anime. And I think he's right in that if you go to an anime convention, the video game hall is completely and utterly packed, and the anime screening rooms are mostly empty. And that's because you're with a bunch of your friends and you want to have fun and hoot and holler and play Smash Brothers and not quietly sit in a room and watch Pat Labor 2.
Plus you downloaded Pat Labor 2, and right. You can't download 3 friends to play Smash Brothers with. So, those anime conventions are the time for a lot of those people to hang out with other people and do cooperative things.
Yeah.
I will say, though, there was a time when anime was basically more my hobby, and it wasn't just when I was working at, you know, Anime Insider. So, but I got to a point where I pretty much seen all the anime I wanted to, and the anime industry just wasn't making interesting stuff as fast as I wanted, so I went to video games.
Yeah, well, and again, you're speaking from the perspective of somebody who worked in it for a couple of years, mm-hmm. which, you know, you work with anything. Like, if you suddenly started working a game developer, you're probably not going to be playing video games when you get home. Or maybe you will, but most game developers, when you see interviews with them, it's like, what's the last good game you played? Pac-Man. Yeah. Like, they don't play other people's games. It's a lot of creative people are like that. The guys who play shitloads of video games are writing about them. It's interesting. And Daryl's coming at this from the angle of someone who definitely, as a hobby, writes about anime in his spare time as a sort of secondary career. So the perspectives are all skewed here. That's all I'll say on that. All right, finally, Gia asks, Funimation's Dragon Age anime, what can they do to make it good? Should it have characters from Origins or the second one, or be a totally new thing?
Wow. Well, you know, considering that the Dragon Age games are kind of all about choosing your own storyline and deciding which elf you want to sleep with or whatever, or I would actually, they should probably just make something that's a coherent story that is somehow tangentially related to the games. Like, I don't know, the backstory, something that happens before one of the games, or maybe even something to bridge the gap between the two. I'm actually, unfortunately, I am not too familiar with the Dragon Age games. I will say that much.
Dave, anything?
I think the commonly held consensus with the Mass Effect anime is they better not make it about Commander Shepard, right?
They can't. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I figure it's the same is true for Dragon Age, but I don't know. Dragon Age 2, for all its flaws, it had some pretty decent story beats that would be a better story than it would a video game. So I can buy into them putting a hawk, preferably a lady hawk, in. Mm. And if they go something and take the whole racial tension thing with the Kunari that makes up the lion's share of that game and make it better than it was in the game, which is, it's got the underpinnings of a really good story. And it failed to live up to that in a lot of respects, but it had a lot of things that really could be built upon and made really good. But I think it's unwise to hold out any hope in any respect for an American video game being made into an anime. Like, that just feels like a don't hold your breath situation.
Yeah.
Well, there are Halo Legends and Dante's Inferno.
Oh, man, we watched that Halo Legends.
It's terrible.
The best one was that weird slapstick. Like, I forget who the director was.
Memoroshi, yeah. Surprisingly. I gotta say, like, I think if they do the thing about those games, Mass Effect, Dragon Age, and I've played them all, the supporting cast are pretty strong. They're strong, likable characters that you wind up caring about. You don't want them to die in battle. You want them to make it to the end of the story or whatever. If they can't do anything with Commander Shepard. They can't do anything with Hawk, because I think that's the next Dragon Age. That's the Commander Shepard for Dragon Age now. If they can play with the supporting cast, that will immediately give me an emotional hook to be interested in the story, because I remember that character, I liked that character, I'd like to see more. So if they can use some of those characters and it's not a totally new thing that just happens to have the same backgrounds and, you know, bullshit terminology, that will make it interesting. I think doing completely new characters, completely new everything, you're going to lose a lot of the people, because those games are all story-driven, you know?
So would you want to see, like, an anthology of shorts with each focusing on a different character's backstory?
That would be fine. I would watch that, you know?
Oh, actually, now that I think about it, there was that one Halo story that had the weird watercolor kind of look to it, which was halfway decent. I think it was Production IG. Mm-hmm. They did something like that with Sten. I could see that. But I feel like Dragon Age does not have the bevy of secondary characters that Mass Effect does.
No, you're absolutely
attach them to.
Yeah, like, what the hell are they going to say about the lusty gypsy chick or whatever?
Yeah, like Leilana. Oh, great. She would make a really good story. But I think if you had Sten's ripe for the Kunari are one of the few things they have in there that is not just straight up Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
and I think if they did something with that, why not? Like, that could make something cool. In fact, just just make it all about the Canary and then have some weird, like, human straight man in there to provide some contrast so you don't get really bored with all the dogma.
Yeah. Anyway, the odds are very low that it is going to be worth anything at all, but we'll see. We gotta wait and see. Okay, well, that wraps it up. Thank you guys both so much for coming on and shooting the shit. I really appreciate it. It was fun talking about games for an hour and a half, so thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem. I had a lot of fun. And again, I apologize for Joel, who, I mean, nature does what it will.
Could not be.
Can't stop a thunderstorm.
Yeah, could not be helped. Well, maybe we'll do it again sometime and he'll have better luck.
Sure.
I look forward to it.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Todd and Dave for coming on the show. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. The theme song is called Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at thenewdivision.net. And while you're at iTunes, don't forget, leave us a review or a rating. We'd appreciate it. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.